When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
Running in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz right here on Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. A lot to get into today. We're going to continue our discussion about the NFL props for week number one, some futures bets, some breaking news in the NFL. Carson Wentz taken off the COVID list. He's back at practice with the Indianapolis Colts. CD Lamb off the list as well, George. But in Kansas City, Honey Badger did test positive for COVID-19. He now goes into COVID protocol. That could affect the week one matchup against the Cleveland Browns next Sunday.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be an ongoing thing all season. The guys going on, guys going off. So what we're going to be, what we're seeing all season long. It's going to affect lines. It's going to affect everything we do as far as matchups are concerned here. So we don't know, did he test positive? Is he a close contact? It's another thing we've got to figure out all season long, because there are different rules for those who test positive than those who are close contact. And then there's also different rules for those who are vaccinated against those who aren't vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, you need two negative tests 24 hours apart. So they theoretically could be back in 48 hours. So it's going to be a mess to see trying to figure all of this out, because they're not going to give us this kind of information.
Right. Well, he did test positive, and he was vaccinated. That's the report out of Kansas City. So now we do have to see how that affects him, because it is depending upon the body, right? Everybody responds a little bit differently. I know some people that were vaccinated came down with a positive test. They then tested negative, and then about a week later, they tested positive again. So you just never know in terms of how the virus affects a certain body depending upon the player, and that's something that we're going to have to monitor week number one, as Kansas City does face the Cleveland Browns in that rematch of the playoff game. Right now, Kansas City still is a 6-point favorite on FanDuel. We'll see what transpires as the week progresses. The other news came out of Philadelphia, George, with Zach Ertz. You know, we talked about Zach Ertz yesterday, potential landing spots. We saw Chris Herndon being shipped to the Vikings with the injury to Irv Smith now. I mean, are we sort of in agreement here that it looks like Zach Ertz is going to be with the Eagles at least for the month of September, unless, depending upon, you know, they get some value for him over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think that is fair here. I think what's going to happen is sort of what you're hinting at here. I think Ertz stays with Philadelphia until they get what they feel is his worth here. Now, that might take until a trade deadline where they'll just take whatever they can get for him at the best price they can get for him. Or it may take until, you know, okay, another team suffers a tight end injury. I would think the Vikings had to contact the Eagles if they lost Irv Smith for the season. And they wanted too much. All right, fine. You know, we'll go to this team. And they're going to the Jets, and they got Herndon. But I think the Vikings had to contact them. Had to. Right? But the price was too high for them. They didn't want to pay whatever it might be. What are they giving the Jets? A fourth? They got a sixth back? Something like that? So maybe, you know, the Eagles wanted an outright third. You know, you're not getting anything. You're getting a seventh back. Whatever it might be. An outright second. I can't think it's a second. But maybe something like that. But I think, well, that's what's going to happen here. He's staying here until the trade deadline, where they'll have, you know, they'll take, fine, we'll take what we can get then, or until another team, and there probably will be another team, competing team, competitive team, suffers an injury at tight end.
Well, in just in terms of the tight end production, right, when you look at some of the top tight ends in the league, Kittle, right, third round, you look at Kelsey, late round draft pick, Tanyan, undrafted free agent, Waller, sixth round. Do teams really need to reach up and grab Zach Ertz? I mean, we understand he's one of the best tight ends when healthy. He's that Travis Kelce type of player, right? Smooth route runner, can mismatch on nickelbacks and linebackers. But does a team really need him on their roster to make a playoff run? I mean, can't they develop a younger player, hold off in terms of the compensation, and still get similar production? Or do you feel he's that much of a game changer at this point in his career, where if he does go to the right team, he could push them over the top in terms of being a playoff contender?
Well, I mean, it's sort of different questions there. If a team's looking for Ertz, it means they don't have a tight end right now, so there's no one to develop. All right, there's nothing you can do right now. It's, you know, season starting in a week, so you can't develop a tight end. Either you have one or you do not have one. That's really what it comes down to here.
What I'm saying is you could have one, but maybe he's raw, unproven in that regard. So as the season progresses, you might get production that's similar to Zach Ertz in that particular lineup, or do you just feel he's that much better than anybody out there in terms of the free market or that a team has in terms of their roster, right?
At one point, Ertz was – now, he never really was Kittle, Kelce, Waller, but he was next tier down. He was damn good. Right, he was damn good. Then they got Goddard, and also things were split between the two because Goddard's good as well, and things didn't go as well for Ertz for whatever reason. You know, I don't know what that reason was, but now he's 30 years old. He'll be 31 in November. So, you know, as far as football is concerned, tight end, he's middle age. You know, so he's not that player anymore. He's not a transcendent tight end. But I still think he can be valuable to somebody as well. But I don't think anyone's trading for him right now. I think that time is come and gone. I think the Eagles do want too much right now, and they are willing to keep him. But by the deadline, I'd be surprised if he's still there.
Eagles 3.5-point dogs to the Atlanta Falcons week one. When we come back, we'll be talking prop bets. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom. all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
On the grid, sportsgrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz talking all things NFL. Over the last couple of days, we've talked about some unique prop bets on WinBet in terms of the offensive side of the ball, quarterback statistics, running backs, and wide receivers we covered yesterday. Let's turn our attention to the defensive side of the ball. We don't discriminate here. We cover all aspects in terms of the futures bets. How about this, George? Most regular season sacks this coming season. I actually like this. This one's courtesy of John Sheeran and FanDuel. Fantastic job that they do. They have Aaron Donald listed as the number one choice, 6-1 on FanDuel to lead the NFL in sacks this season, followed by Pittsburgh Steeler TJ Watt. He's 6-1. Myles Garrett at 6.5-1 plus 650. Then you have Chase Young. And here's where the value kicks in. 12-1 shot, followed by Joey Bosa, 13-1. Brian Burns at 15-1 and Daniel Hunter at 16-1. And then we have some long shots. We have Khalil Mack at 16-1, Von Miller at 17-1, and the list goes on. But give me your thoughts about those list of players and the potential to maybe strike it rich, nailing a defensive player this season.
Yeah, I kind of like guys that have teams that have two good pass rushers, because then pretty much the offense has to choose, okay, which guy's going to get, we're going to double, which guy's going to be singled. That's what I'm looking for here. I sort of dislike teams that only have one true pass rusher, because that guy's going to get double teamed every damn passing down. I think that makes it tougher here. I mean, it's easy to go with the Aaron Donalds of the world. He might be the best NFL player, period, with how good he is in his position there. And he doesn't matter what they have. He gets double teamed every play here, and he's still
a monster, right? The double teams, you always have to worry about coming up the middle. It's very hard, even though he's done it up until this point in his career, to generate quarterback pressures and sacks coming from the interior, right? Especially when you're double teamed. But do you feel confident at 6-1, even though it's positive money? I think there's the potential, not that he regresses, but that statistically maybe he takes a minor step or just goes flat in 2021.
I think it's fair. I do think it's fair. Listen, I like T.J. Watt. He wants that big contract. He has a lot of motivation, something to prove here. They need him to be that kind of guy, and he's on the outside. The harder to double team. All right, so I kind of root for T.J. Watt here in this case, but you can make an argument for anybody here. And you know, I do like for these kinds of bets to go with more value here. I mean, they're all good, decent value here. But even going further down the list, Von Miller returning is interesting to me. They do have some other pass rushing options there. So like, he could be somebody that defense is good. You also want a secondary that's good, right? Because that secondary can make the quarterback hold the ball for an extra half second to a second. Gives the rusher time here. And Denver has that. So I can see going with Von Miller as well here. Once again, I don't think he's going to win it, but I think you said 16-1, 17-1. Not bad to take a shot at it.
No, it's not bad. And when you said the other player, right? So in Von Miller, you have Bradley Chubb. He's been banged up in his career, but he's a 44-1 shot on FanDuel. So, you know, if you're going to play Von Miller, you might as well sprinkle a little on Bradley Chubb at 44-1, because if you believe that front seven could be dominant, right? You have an opportunity to maybe strike it rich with Bradley Chubb. Maybe Von Miller gets double teamed, and then maybe as long as Chubb is healthy, he has the opportunity to step up. And then on the flip side, we talk about Chase Young at 12-1, while his teammate Montez Sweat, 38-1. So now you have another younger player. You have those dominant defensive tackles and Jonathan Allen in the middle. You know that they're going to get pressure and double team. So if Chase Young gets double teamed, maybe it's Sweat that steps up and maybe has a breakout year at 38-1. It's worth a shot.
My only problem with taking Young or Sweat, now they're great. Either one's fine. But I don't think teams are going to open it up against Washington and drop back the pass 40 times. And because their offense may not be as prolific, they may not force you to do that. Right. Yeah, I think they're going to play a lot of close games here, so not as many pass attempts here, where the Broncos actually do have an offense. Yeah, that Courtney, we've talked about this before. That passing offense should be able to move the ball and score some points, forcing teams. I'm not saying Denver's one of the best offenses in the NFL, But it's good enough where teams are going to have to score points. They're not looking to score 20 points a game. They should be able to score 24, 27, 28, which forced teams to keep up with them and pass the ball more. More pass attempts, more chances for Von Miller, for Bradley Chubb, as you mentioned. That's one of the reasons why you also like Miller.
Yeah, I mean, 17 to 1 shot, it's worth a shot. How about these two guys? I mean, if I had a pick right now, I'm not looking at the top five, even though Garrett is there. We know about Clowney, too. I got to see if Clowney's on the list. I don't see him listed by FanDuel. No, he's not on the list. So you never know. I mean, Clowney's not on there.
Yeah, he's not a great pass rusher. Clowney's more of a very good run guy. Now, he may be a better pass rusher this year because of Miles Garrett.
Right. So the guys I did want to key on in terms of who I like, I mean, there's three players. It's that mid-tier after Bosa, right? Yeah, Brian Burns for Carolina. He's a 15-to-1 shot. Daniel Hunter, back-to-back 14.5 sack seasons for Minnesota, and Shaq Barrett at 16-to-1, right? Shaq Barrett, I mean, with Devin White in that linebacker core, we know they're going to have a dominant front seven. We know that they potentially, we agree that they're the best team, at least on paper in the NFC. They expect to get over their 11.5 win total, right? So Shaq Barrett is going to have a monster season. I think if he regresses or has a mediocre season, that defense might not be as dominant. So why not take a shot at him at 16-to-1? So out of all the guys or groups, I like Burns, Hunter, and Barrett in that 16-to-15-to-1 area to potentially strike gold in 2021.
Yeah, I can't argue with that thinking either here. I love Barrett. I do think that defense, if not the best in the NFL, is certainly one of them. They're loaded with, I mean, so much talent there, right? And that front four is good, so you can't concentrate on anyone, any particular player there. And they're going to score a lot of points, right? A lot of points coming, so a lot of chance here. That's a team you probably are going to throw the ball 30 to 40 times against, minimum, to keep up with them, what Tom Brady and company can score here. So I kind of like the three you mentioned. I mean, I like Burns and Hunter as well. But out of the three you mentioned in that tier, I'd go Barrett.
All right, let's talk about JPP, right? So you said Clowney, no, not really. How about JPP outside of Shaq Barrett, 23-to-1, and then you have Nick Bosa, 23-to-1, and then the old man, J.J. Watt, 32-to-1. I think that's a waste of money. I think I'm going to say it right now. If J.J. Watt plays more than 10 games, it's a complete gift for Arizona.
I'm with you here on both bets. J.J. Watt's a name guy at this point. He still could be a good player when he's on the field. He's no longer an all-pro, a great player. He's not that guy anymore. Too many injuries has zapped that out of him, right? Sapped it out of him. So it is what it is with J.J. I enjoy watching him play. Hope he does well, but yeah, he's not that guy, and I'm not going to bet on him there. I hope he plays more than 10. I hope he plays all 17, but kind of like you, you know, you just look at the stats, and they tell you he's going to get hurt. You know, he's only going to play a certain amount of games. It's not sort of like if he gets hurt, it's when he gets hurt in regards to him. As for Jason Pierre-Paul, we're talking about a 32-year-old. You know, I don't know how much you can really expect from him at this point. I think he could be around double digits in sacks because, once again, the team he plays for, great defense, but not that he's going to win this. I don't see that at all. And, you know, as far as Bosa, and Bosa's another one, right? We love Bosa. You know, he's actually, I love both Bosas here, Joey and Nick. But tend to get a little banged up as well. They're good players, but they're not, you know, great, great players. So I'm not seeing that either here. If you force me to bet on one of these three, it certainly wouldn't be Watt. That it wouldn't be. I would probably go the Bosa route because I think there is something to go here. But I don't see any of these three winning it.
I would take a shot on JPP just as a flyer. You know, just to, you know, the pedigree. The long arms, the ability to get sacks because of Barrett, because of White, because of that defense could be out there for extended periods with leads, the one-dimensional type of way that they can make an offense, especially if Brady and that offense light it up early and often. I think there could be the potential at 23-to-1. I mean, I really don't like anyone after that tier. I think Von Miller is there at 17-to-1, a player we didn't discuss, but we discussed throughout the offseason. Chandler Jones also 17-to-1 for Arizona, but he wants out. What does that mean for that defense? And we know that outside Chandler Jones and Buda Baker, that defense could be a sieve in 2021. When we come back, more props. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation of NFL defensive players, George and I talked about some players that maybe can lead the NFL in terms of sacks in 2021 on FanDuel. We left off with Chandler Jones. George, I know you have some sentiments about Chandler. I'm not so high on him. He did say in the preseason that he wanted out of Arizona. Not sold on that defense just yet. I need to see more out of Isaiah Simmons in year number two. Zaven Collins as well, the rookie from Tulsa. Now, if things change early on and both of those players step up, Jones might have a fantastic year. But right here, right now, I can't be all in at 17-1.
Yeah, I wish the price was maybe a little higher, but that being said, Jones does want a new contract, right? He said he wants out of Arizona. They all say that when they want more money, they can't get it. I don't want out of here. I don't want to play here. So, once again, a little extra motivation there. All reports from camp are that he is participating, that he's all in, doing everything he can. I think he wants to show the team there. So I kind of do like Chandler Jones in this category.
Okay. All right. We'll see. 17-1 shot, a potential dark horse. George likes Chandler Jones to lead the NFL this coming season. Let's transition to NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Now, this is a little bit different, right? Because there are some players that maybe statistically can't get it done, like Donald, right? He's going to get double team. Maybe the sacks aren't there, but he does have the opportunity to potentially win the NFL Defensive Player of the Year award. He is the favorite at 5-1, followed by Myles Garrett at 6-1, TJ Watt at 7.5-1 at +750. Then you have Nick Bosa 11-1 and Chase Young 11-1. And then it drops off with Joey Bosa, a 17-1 shot on FanDuel. I think if I had to look right here at both of the top three or four, I think I would be in with Garrett. You know, he's focused. He has Clowney there that you mentioned is a better run stopper. I think that benefits him. Teams are going to look to double team him, but with the addition of Clowney, I think that opens up things. I like the defensive playmakers that they got in terms of the draft. I think the secondary will be much more improved. You have Newsom, Richard LeCount. I'm going with Myles Garrett to be Defensive Player of the Year, and what a 360 that would be, right, for him to step up and reign this award in 2021.
Listen, he was on stop ball at one point last season, all right? So I don't mind this at all. I could go really get on your backhand ride this. He was unstoppable. You had Clowney there. We know this is a good team. Theoretically, they have no holes. They may not be quite what the Buffalo Bills or the Kansas City Chiefs are or the Buccaneers in the NFC, but they're damn good. I could definitely get on board with you here. I like this pick. I think you made the right choice here. I think the Browns are this close, really, to being – okay, we're talking about them in the same group of all the other great teams in the NFL right now. So I'm on board here. The Browns can score enough points where the defense is going to have to get out of the quarterback. I think Myles Garrett's going to have a big season. So I'm with you here, Joe.
Well, let me ask you this, and I want to get your thoughts, because I feel like this NFL Defensive Player of the Year award is more of a media hype type of thing, right? Because just look at some of the players that we mentioned in terms of the sack leaders. Right? You know, Burns, and you have a couple other players that we mentioned that really are under the radar. I mean, unless you really follow the game, they're not really covered from the national media perspective. But you hear about Watt, you hear about Donald, you hear about Myles Garrett each and every week. So I feel like this award is more hype driven than the sack award, where it's just get it done, record your sacks, and then obviously you're going to have that winning bet. Do you buy into that in any capacity, that the media does affect this almost like the MVP to a degree?
Oh yeah, I don't buy it. I believe in it. Yeah, I think once again, you talk about the MVP awards in any sport, right? Baseball, football, whatever. Cy Young would come to be the same part of this. The media is biased. They're definitely biased, and yeah, we've seen in baseball, right? They've gone the analytic route. So wins used to be the big thing, right? You had to have 20 wins, or you had no chance to win the Cy Young. Now they've gone away from that. They understand analytics that, you know, hey, wins are not always show how good a pitcher you are. Same can be true in football. I mean, just for giggles here, maybe Myles Garrett doesn't have 17 sacks this year, whatever it might be, because he's being double-teamed, and offenses are paying so much attention to him, but Clowney goes off. Why do you think he went off? You know, he went off because teams are paying attention to Garrett. They're double-teaming him, and he's single-covered every time. He's a lesser opponent, so he's winning that matchup. I think the media, the voters now do pay more attention to that. I think that is, once again, plays into that. But I also think there's also there's bias with certain teams. You know, the Cowboys are always going to get their love because they're America's team. Patriots, Steelers, Packers. There's always teams we like. The good teams we know coming in always get that kind of love. We have teams that, we never talk about certain teams here all that much. And those teams, they can have a player that comes out of nowhere, but you sort of need a year. You know what I'm saying? You need, you had a big year. Do it again next year. We'll give you consideration. It's bull. Shouldn't be that way. But that is the way it is. So the guys who we talk about are always going to be the favorites. The guys who've never had a good year before. And what else, that have one great year and they're not like a top rookie or someone like that. Those guys aren't going to get as much love right away. Micah Parsons would get love if he had a big year. Because, yes, he's a rookie, but he's on the Cowboys, and we're all talking about him. Where the third-round linebacker, for really about anybody, any team, wouldn't get any love if he went off, even if he had 14 sacks. He would have to prove it again that he's that kind of player.
And I also think, too, with the NFL MVPs to a degree, right, offensive and obviously defensive player of the year, you need to be in the playoff conversation. Because I'll give you a for instance, we just spoke about Chandler Jones, right? 17-1 shot to lead the league in sacks. Okay, that's not bad value, right? He's a productive player. But to be the NFL defensive player of the year, he's a 70-1 shot on FanDuel. Von Miller, that we said was in that area, 15-16-1, right? He's a 55-1 shot to be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Why is that? It's just because we look at Denver and we look at Arizona as just middle-of-the-tier type of team. So I think if you're going to play this award from that perspective, you have to look at contenders, right, George? I mean, Devin White, who dominated the Super Bowl and was one of the most dominant defensive players at the end of the year, he's a 45-1 shot to hoist Defensive Player of the Year this year. I mean, those odds are very steep, considering now we're talking about some of the top players at their respective positions.
Well, you're sort of getting into the definition of MVP now. You know, and this could be, this gets a little tricky for people. You know, I agree. I think you have to be in playoff consideration. I don't care if you had 38 sacks. If your team went 4-13, how valuable were you? I mean, how valuable were you? They were down that bad. So I probably actually go with you have to be above 500. You know, 9-8 and above this season to really be in consideration for this. If I had a vote, that's probably how I'm going for it. You know, that's a different, but different people read this differently about how valuable, you know, that the quotes are, the air quotes are on the word valuable there, what that means. To me, it means, like I said, if you were 4-13, you weren't really all that valuable. What's the, you know, who cares? You're still in last place, still a top of three draft pick next year. How valuable were you? I think you need to be at least around 500 for me to consider you for MVP.
Okay, so when we talk about that, like a team like Washington that was 7-9 last year, won the division, they get in, they were the feel-good story of in terms of the NFL, right? Alex Smith, the comeback player of the year, all eyes on Ron Rivera. He was diagnosed with cancer and remission, so that was the story last year. So for Chase Young at 11-1 to win the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, are we in agreement that Washington needs to be at the top of the NFC East or at least in wild card contention? I mean, how can Chase Young get it at 11-1 based off of what we saw last year? Dominant season as a rookie, but in order to take the next step and hoist this award without it being just dead money, you would have to say that Washington obviously has to lead the NFC East, right?
I don't think they have to lead. Well, like you said, I do think they need to be in the wild card consideration. Or like I said, above 8-9, 9-8, I think that's okay for me too. Because then you were close enough where you, okay, you know, if something would have went right for you here, there, you were fine. It's funny. If we would have talked about this, let's say 2 months ago, Joe, I'd have been like, oh, I love the Washington players. Love the Washington players, but the offense is going to be so-so. It's not all that great. No great playmakers. But Fitzpatrick's getting so much love now, and I don't understand this, by the way. Like, he's some great quarterback. I think it's hurting the Washington players somewhat, because now Washington's going to be expected to score some points where they're not relying on the defense to win every game. You understand where I'm going here? Because in my mind, for Washington to be a good team, it's that defense has to play lights out. Right, the offense, I don't think, is poor, mind you, but it's far from great. I would give it average at best here. But Fitzpatrick's getting getting so much love. I don't understand why. You look at his career numbers here and career what he's done. He's never led a team to the playoffs and everything else. I think three winning seasons. And there's a reason he's a nomad and a journeyman. He goes all over the place here. So I kind of find that funny. But I love my Washington players for this award here because I think this does come down to defense for them. To win that division or being a wild card, they have to play great defense.
Right. Now, in terms of defensive backs, most recognizable names, Derwin James for the Chargers, 38-1, Ramsey, 38-1, and Trey White at 55-1. I think it's dead money, right? Unless these players just lead the league in interceptions, their team is maybe on the way to just a 13-win type of season, how are you going to give it to Jalen Ramsey unless he has 15 interceptions? We know about Donald, right? Donald gets all the love no matter how good that defense is, no matter how good Jalen Ramsey might be. It's the Aaron Donald factor, right? That's why he's solidified as the favorite entering the season. So, I mean, I don't see any way. Just on a long shot, I could back James, Ramsey, or White based off of those type of situations. It seems like it's a front seven award or bust.
Completely agree. Once again, I think you sort of hinted at it when you said 15 interceptions. The only way a secondary guy is going to get it is if he sets a record. I don't know. I assume 15 interceptions in a season would be a record. I'm not positive, but that would do it, sure. But you have to set a record. Yeah, there are no Deion Sanders playing, right? You know what I mean? We're going to return punts and return kicks and everything else here. So you're absolutely right. It would have to be a record setter. I think it is a front seven award. No choice here. Sort of like a reliever in baseball winning Cy Young. Not going to happen unless you have 70 saves or ERA of 0.48.
Couple other D-backs, Minka Fitzpatrick and Jair Alexander at 55-1. When we come back, we'll be talking about some other props. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Breaking down all the NFL defensive players today, we've been concentrating so much on the offensive side of the ball throughout the summer that we turned our attention to the defensive side of the ball, looking for some value. And before we get into some week one lines, George, there is defensive player of the year in terms of the rookies, right? Some interesting names. Your Micah Parsons does lead. And this is on DraftKings now, 6-1, followed by Jamin Davis, the dominant linebacker out of Kentucky that got drafted by Ron Rivera and the Washington football team. He's an 8-1 shot. Jalen Phillips for Miami. He had a banged-up career for UCLA and the Hurricanes, goes to the Miami Dolphins. He's a 10-1 shot. Kwity Paye, 12-1. Surtain at 12-1. Zaven Collins and J.C. Horn, both at 14-1. Any love for any of those players to step up this coming season?
Well, when it comes to the rookies here, this is probably a little bit more cut and dry. You're going to need sacks, interceptions, or tackles. It's really what it's going to come down to. All right, because there's not as much to choose from here. We're not going to have a lot of big numbers here. I think the favorite is the linebacker. Always look at the linebackers for this. I don't expect any of these rookies to have big interception totals. I don't. Are any of these quarterbacks truly going to start and stand out? No, it's a tough position. Generally, it takes time. Tackles are tackles, though. And, I can tell you as a Cowboy fan last year, if you looked at Jalen Smith's numbers, just the numbers, didn't watch the games. Oh, he had a lot of tackles, must have played well. Well, yeah, when you're tackling people 8 yards past the line of scrimmage, the numbers still look good. Yeah, but you didn't play very well. That sort of thing here. We didn't have a lot of standout pass rushers coming out. If we did, then one might be on Dallas, or they might have been drafted earlier. All right, so we didn't have enough, anybody who stood out as far as getting to the quarterback. I think it's the linebackers this year. I think that it's going to be Micah Parsons who wins this, but I don't think he's going to have outstanding pass numbers because of the Cowboy offense can put up so much points that teams aren't going to run the ball against them a whole bunch, especially in the second half. It's going to be a lot of shootouts being played in Dallas. So I'll still give it to Micah Parsons, but I don't think the numbers will quite be as sexy as I thought it was. Davis, I think, is a nice underdog.
Yeah, Davis is a nice underdog. Also, Notre Dame, a linebacker that got drafted by Cleveland, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. And I pronounced that correctly, I believe. Sometimes I butcher names. But a 14-to-1 shot. Very active linebacker. Best defensive player for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now implemented in terms of that defensive scheme with Clowney. And obviously Myles Garrett. He might be able to accumulate some tackles. How about J.C. Horn, though, for Carolina? We know Derek Brown is there. Number one draft pick from Auburn. I mean, Matt Rule rolled the dice, right? You could have went Surtain. He goes with Horn, who maybe is a more of a raw prospect. But if he steps up, let's say he has, I think, you know, seven interceptions, maybe he steals it at 14-to-1. So that's another player I like in terms of late round value. And then Gregory Rousseau at 20-to-1. Everybody wants to key in on Jalen Phillips, the defensive end for Miami, but I think his teammate Rousseau was the better prospect. He has longer wingspan, didn't play last year. He goes to McDermott and that defensive front. There are a lot of pieces in place in terms of that front seven led by Ed Oliver, the former Houston standout, but I expect Rousseau to potentially steal this as well. So those are my two picks at 20-to-1 for Rousseau and 14-to-1 for J.C. Horn. And then just get your thoughts. Can this Arizona defense, you think, step up this year? We mentioned Jones. Zaven Collins has a 14-to-1 shot. He might have some value too, George.
Can they step up? Sure. Will they? I mean, I don't quite put them in the bad defense categories of the Falcons. Maybe what we think the Cowboys are going to be. You know, oh my God, they're going to go 38 points a game. But I don't know how many tiers up they are from that. So I think they have some issues here, but I don't think they're as terrible as some of the other defenses or that were last year that we don't expect to have all that much improvement this year. So I think there's hope here. I do. Like I said, I think Chandler Jones, I said earlier, that I do think he has something to prove this season, that he wants that big contract, that he's going to ball out. Now, listen, I could be wrong, and it goes the exact opposite. That he's going to mope and pout all year long and not play his best, you know, and sort of do that to a hold in and barely play until he gets the contract. Could go that direction as well, but I don't think it's happening, not from the reports we're hearing. So I do have hope for the Arizona defense that I don't think they're going to be above average. I don't see that, but that they can possibly get to average.
Yeah, they're going to need to be average. I mean, obviously you could score 40 points a game, but if the defense is giving up 45, you're not going to win many ball games in the NFL. I mean, I do like Collins from his days in Tulsa. He's a big, active linebacker. He doesn't look his size in terms of basically 260 pounds. He's a lean 260, if that makes any sense, in terms of just of his body frame. He just doesn't look like he's a stout linebacker. He's lean, he's athletic, has a very long wingspan and could cover, especially in pass coverage. And I think that's why Arizona took him in terms of 16th overall. So we'll see how it plays out for the Arizona Cardinals. A lot of pressure on Cliff Kingsbury here. Has shown progression. 5 wins his first year, 8 wins last year. If he could get to 9 or potentially 10, maybe the pressure will be off in terms of Arizona, especially if they make the playoffs this season. NFL Rookie of the Year offensive perspective. We saw Mac Jones being named the starter. He automatically becomes second best on the board in FanDuel, 4.5-to-1, right behind Trevor Lawrence, a 4-to-1 shot. Are we just sold that it's these two players? Or I still buy into Justin Fields. Whenever he plays, George, he could put on a highlight reel at 6.5-to-1. I think that's potential. I'm not buying into Lance or Wilson, but I will say this. I think the other player in terms of, you know, just breakout type of star could be Jaylen Waddle at 25-to-1 in Miami.
Going to be, once again, I doubt it's a wide receiver. It's a passing league here, and that certainly plays towards the wide receivers, but most wide receivers take a little bit of time. Got to get that chemistry with the quarterback. You know, you got to get know the route tree, get when the hot guy is, this sort of thing. And Miami's not a passing offense. So I just don't see it with Waddle or really any of the top wide receivers coming out. I don't see it. It's a quarterback league. All right. I can make an argument for any of the 4 quarterbacks other than Lance, because he's not going to start. He's got the chip in his finger. We don't know when we'll see him. I'm not going to discount. I don't think it'll be Wilson, mind you. He'll probably be 4th on this list, but I'm not going to discount because he is starting. So big chance. And I like his weapons a hell of a lot more than I like Mac Jones' weapons. You know, so I'm not going to discount him. But that being said, I don't think he'll win it either. I do think Mac Jones is going to get a lot of love because he's the Patriots, and it's Belichick, and they released Cam Newton to do this. And they have a very good defense, which means they might be around a .500 team. Maybe a while. don't think they will. You know, I that. I do like Phoenix, but Amir, when's he going to start? You know, when is Nagy going to wake up here? I don't know. I truly hope, I can't say this enough, I truly hope he is just starting Dalton because he doesn't want Fields to get, I don't know, set back, eaten up by Aaron Donald. I really hope that's the reason. You know, but if you're telling me that come, you know, we're still talking about Dalton starting, then this is a waste of time. He won't win it either. He'll be too far behind here. So it is, I think, Lawrence and Jones, I think, are 1-2. But I think Fields wins this. If you could tell, if Joe Lisa could tell me right now, you looked in the crystal ball that we get 14 games of Fields, I think Fields wins this award.
I was hoping on 17 games, but I think 14 is realistic. I mean, after three games, you know what you have in Andy Dalton. You want to get the Cincinnati game out of the way. You want to get the Rams game out of the way. Fine. But after that, you seriously have to take a deep look and say, what is the direction of the team with Andy Dalton? Are we just a middle-of-the-road team that is just going to, you know, methodically work down the field? Or do we want to roll the dice and put the ball into our playmaker's hands, and we're going to go as he goes? And at the end of the day, you can look at all these quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts was given the keys to the bus at the end of the year in terms of Philadelphia. I mean, you drafted Justin Fields 11th overall. And I said it again, what's the upside? We know that you're capped out with Chicago. You're telling me that Chicago is a playoff championship team with Andy Dalton at the helm? No, they're a wild card team at best. And what you saw last year is what you're going to get with Dalton in terms of that round one game with New Orleans. They, you know, if Wims doesn't drop the pass in the end zone, maybe it's a different game. Maybe they lose that game instead of double digits. Maybe it's by seven, but you're still going to lose. They weren't going to beat the Saints in that ballgame. Defense was just too dominant. So I have mixed feelings about it, but I can guarantee you that I think Justin Fields will get 14 games this year. But I did want to ask you about, you said wide receivers. Does Justin Jefferson's performance, 1,400 yards last year, where they gave it to Herbert, does that maybe sway it for a wide receiver this year?
Wasn't that your other problem, by the way? Jefferson was an outlier, right? He beat the wide receiver projections badly. He was great last year,
right,
and still didn't win.
But he still lost to Herbert. So
right, still didn't win.
Right.
It's listen, you and I both know, Joe, it's all about the quarterback. It's all about the quarterback. The only way a wide receiver wins is he's going to need a season like Jefferson, which was a fantastic season, which he probably should have won the award. But a quarterback has to do nothing. And we have five top-notch guys here. Maybe four if you don't want to count Lance. Not that he's not top, won't be top-notch, but we don't think he's going to play all that much. Or it's going to be a while. You know, are we think that Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, Jones are all going to, you know, fall, not play well? If any of them plays well, they win the award. It's that simple. It's just that. It's just that's what a quarterback-driven league is. It just is. So it's so hard for a wide receiver. It's so hard for a running back. I don't see. I guess Pitts could do be in this conversation as well, by the way, because he has so much pub. If he ends up going off, but once I keep saying this, history tells us tight ends don't do well in year one. But maybe he's not going to be a tight end. He's going to be a quasi-tight end wide receiver. Who knows? And they are going to use him like a lot since Julio Jones left. Maybe. Maybe they are. So I could see that coming in as well here if Pitts does go off. But they have to go off. And they have to really go off. You know, for someone like Pitts or any of these wide receivers you want to talk about, they can't have 1,000 yards. Who cares? 60 yards a game. Less than that, actually. They need to have 13, like I said, Jefferson, 1,400 yards, still didn't win it. Double-digit touchdowns, still don't know if he'll win it. Because odds are one of those quarterbacks we're talking about threw for somewhere around 4,000 yards, threw for somewhere 28-plus touchdowns, and didn't get, you know, didn't turn them over 30 times like Winston. All right, so it's going to be so hard. So hard for any offensive player to win this award in any category other than a quarterback.
See, now FanDuel entices you because they have Najee Harris at 9-1, followed by Pitts, to your point, at 11-1. And then the first wide receiver is Devontae Smith at 20-1. Then Ja'Marr Chase at 20-1. And obviously Elijah Moore and Jaylen Waddle at both 25-1, respectively. So that's exactly what you just said about Pitts, right? Even if he does go off, what does he have to get? Right? I mean, come on. They implemented him above any of the receivers on this list, which I now it's based solely, I guess, off the NFL draft, fourth taken overall. But at the end of the day, his total is 800 yards for the prop bet receiving-wise. So you're telling me if he gets 900 receiving yards in year one, that's worthy of rookie of the year?
No, it won't be. I mean, if he would have won it off 900 receiving yards, that means, oh my God, everybody fell flat on their face. Flat on their face. All right, I mean, really. It's not like Kyle Pitts is, listen, we all think he's going to be great in time, Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. And once again, I'm a Cowboy fan. Wish the Cowboys could have gotten him, even though it wasn't an area of need. But for 900 yards, no. He's probably going to do probably 50% better than that, 1,300, to be in this conversation, assuming these quarterbacks, once again, don't fall flat on their face, assuming Harris doesn't rush for 1,200, 1,300 yards himself. You know, which I don't think he will, by the way. I think, once again, Pittsburgh has issues on the offensive line, which is why I'm discounting him. I think it's one of these quarterbacks. I would be, like I said, I would be really surprised. If there were only two, you know, top quarterbacks that are playing, rookie quarterbacks, I think this is a better conversation because two, you could see one failing. And there was only one guy. There's five guys here. At least one or two are going to have nice seasons.
Yeah, Trey Lance and Zach Wilson both on FanDuel at 7-1. When we come back, we'll be talking about those week one lines, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we always end the show on a week one line. We'll take it a step further today because we switched to the defensive side of the ball. Break down that Thursday night battle between Tampa Bay and Dallas on FanDuel right now. Tampa Bay is 7.5-point favorite right now, but first scoring touchdown. And DraftKings put these up. Great odds. I'll give you the top three. You got Mike Evans, 7.5-1. Zeke Elliott, 7.5-1. Chris Godwin, 9-1. Followed by Ronald Jones at plus 950. Anybody stand out to you? First touchdown in Tampa Thursday night.
No, I'm not taking Zeke. I think Dallas is going to struggle a little bit on offense to open up the game here. I'm just going by the fact that you look at the snap counts for the Cowboys. Dak, 0. Zeke, 0. Cooper, 13. Gallup, 18. You know, Lamb had 26. You know, offensive line, nobody has more than 40. It's just the way they approached the preseason. These guys didn't play. So I think it's going to be a slow start for Dallas here. I can see a field goal happening, but not a touchdown here. So if I'm going to go this route, and I don't feel it right now, which is generally how I go, but I probably have to feel it, I would probably lean towards definitely the ball in the air. All right, Cowboys have a tough time with that. A lot of young cornerbacks here. Maybe a big play. Evans does, I like that. What's Brown's? I'm interested in Brown as well.
that was my dark horse. 14-1 for Antonio Brown. I think that's really good value on a marquee stage Thursday night. Everybody
marquee
concentrating
stage
on Godwin. Right?
Thursday night, coming up with Super Bowl. I'm thinking Brown, who we know Brady loves, or Gronk.
No, I don't like Gronk in this situation.
I kind of like Gronk. Dallas has issues with tight ends as well.
He's
well,
an 18-1 shot. He's an 18
I'm going Brown
to
and Gronk.
Shot.
I'm
all right, how
Brown
about CeeDee Lamb, 11-1? He could be potentially off. He's off the COVID list. He should be raring to go. I don't like Cooper, 12-1. I think he'll be a decoy. And then, obviously, your other guy, Gallup, at 18-1, has a potential.
Now I'm going to go one with Tampa Bay guys. I think Dallas is going to struggle coming out.
All right, we'll be here all week. We'll see you tomorrow for George Kurtz and our great producer Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow.